602, thank you for joining in, Dave, Katie, and Nick. It is time to save money at the pump. Text Dave to 83835 now to save a quarter a gallon on your second fill up at all participating Shell gas locations. Welcome in, 339-1140, 1-800-912-1140. Do we have Katie Christensen in San Antonio?
You do.
Yay, Katie's here.
Yay.
There.
Hi.
Hi.
Katie, what was for dinner last night?
I had a like a hanger steak salad.
Well, that was fast.
Yeah.
I know.
There you go. Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Because it's not puffy tacos.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't have any puffy tacos?
No. When we got in yesterday afternoon, I worked for a few hours, and then I went and grabbed dinner with our crew, but it was quick. So, yeah.
Because puffy tacos take forever.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where the puffy tacos place is.
Well.
So, it was, I was thinking about not even going to dinner, so it was a last-minute decision even to go, so.
Mm.
Yeah.
Can't live without dinner.
We're going to be back here in a week.
That's true.
It's true, yeah.
Weird stretch. Like, they played Denver three times, or we'll play Denver when it's all said and done, like, three times in just over 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They go to San Antonio twice, yeah, in like a week or two.
Yeah.
Well, the next time you go to San Antonio, then I'll give you all the spots for puffy tacos.
Oh, there's multiple places?
Yes. It's not
It was like one like food truck somewhere.
No,
Come on, Christensen.
No, restaurants. They're actual restaurants. It's like the national dish of San Antonio.
Okay. Well, then that helps. I would have been Googling puffy taco food truck.
No.
Yeah, make sure you put the food truck part in there. Yeah.
I don't even know if you could
really.
That's
what I thought it was.
I don't know if you could do it right on a food truck. Because like, it's a very delicate thing to make. You have to have the deep fryer, and then you have to mold the taco shell around, and not to be confused with like a chalupa or a gordita.
What's different about
Okay, so if you bite into a chalupa, for example, it's still kind of the same like dough, taco shell shaped dough, right? But it's thicker. But when you bite into it, there's a chew, there's a pull to the gordita shell, right? Mm. When you bite into a puffy taco, when your teeth hit the puffy taco shell, they go straight through. There's no pull at all. It's like biting into a feather that has taco products in the middle of it.
Why is that good?
It's like biting into taco heaven.
It just is.
It really is. You don't have the crunch of the hard shell. You have the pull of the soft shell. You just have this. You wonder how it can even stay together and hold these taco products, but it does.
I did an image search for puffy taco, and
probably
I
got not a good idea.
No,
I mean these things look like they have a medical condition.
Let me see what you're looking at. Let me just make sure that's an accurate puffy taco.
Now I've got to look this up.
Okay, the ones that row right there on your far right on the bottom. Yeah, that's the general look of a puffy taco.
Okay.
Yeah, very puffy, shaped like a taco.
They look delicious.
Yeah, they look fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, right on, man.
Mm.
You know, if you want something locally, just take a short drive on down to Whittier.
Whittier. From the 916, Katie said she was going to try to grab puffy tacos for lunch yesterday. Gosh, no wonder why Robert thinks you guys are a joke. Well, see, there you go.
Seriously, no credibility.
Lunch today.
Yeah, it was important for me to get some work done yesterday. Seriously, as soon as I went and worked for like about 3.5 hours. So
I got some work in, too. I just don't have anything to show for it.
You know, let's dissect this for a second. Let's dissect this for just a second. So yesterday was your quote unquote day off, right?
Yeah.
But you work for 3 hours, you said?
About 3.5.
What did you do?
I wrote a blog for the station.
Saw it.
And I started my game prep for today because with the time difference, we're going to get off air at like 11 o'clock here. So I'll have to get back, which is about a 20-plus minute drive back to the hotel. And then if I'm going to eat and then shower and get ready for the game, and I'll still have some game prep to do. So, yeah, I mean, I'm fairly, you know, adept at managing my schedule. So,
Good work, Katie. We're proud of
you.
Yeah,
we are kind of proud of you there. That's fantastic. 3.5 hours. My goodness. Yeah. And check out her blog on chicks and sports or something at khtk.com. You got mad at Mike Francesa yesterday.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Is he wrong?
Is he wrong?
Yeah. Is he wrong in the sense, not that women can't be head coaches, and no, that's silly horse crap.
I think he's wrong in the sense that he's saying that they'll never be able to discipline men.
Discipline.
Yeah. Like it's 50 Shades of Grey or something like that.
I wonder, there would certainly be a massive adjustment period. And what I was trying to think in my head, I read your blog, and I was trying to think in my head, would the adjustment period for a female head coach, see, here's the thing. When you take any other quote-unquote minority that has broken the barrier into sports, they've pretty much always done it as players. Like Jackie Robinson didn't come into baseball as a manager. And I don't know who the guy was in basketball, but whoever broke the barrier there, I should know that. Shame on me. Didn't come in as a head coach. You're never going to have women come in as players into the NBA and then earn their respect that way. They're going to have to go, obviously, as you outlined with Becky Hammon's amazing WNBA career, they're going to have to go that route, but they're never going to be peers in the truest sense of the word with NBA players. So their first experience in the NBA will never be as a player. It would be as a coach like Becky.
There's all kinds of coaches that have never played in the NBA.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So I was trying to find a comparison to, like, let's say Becky Hammon takes over for Greg Popovich in 5 years. Let's say that's the first female head coach in the NBA. So what would be the comparison through the years as far as that barrier breaking to try to see the adjustment period, the crap she'll have to deal with, and then you would hope the eventual overcoming of that crap until it's a norm?
You know, I think I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. Like, what's the comparison that you can make? But I think the major he made a lot of different points. He said that they can't discipline the athletes. I don't think that there's a lot of discipline that goes on in the NBA because these are grown men that if they want a job and they want to collect their gigantic salaries, then they have to play for whoever the front office and the ownership puts in that coaching chair. And I don't think discipline, I think that maybe factors in a little bit more at the college level and definitely at the high school level.
Well, isn't that, Katie, a question too of like whether your front office backs you or not? I mean, if you want to discipline a player and you go to, I mean, what kind of recourse is there in the NBA? We've seen it over and over again. You either fine a guy or you take him off the floor. And if you want to do that, like you basically have to have your front office in your corner.
Exactly.
And if that happens, then the discipline is going to happen.
It's
that simple. Right.
Exactly.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's it. As long as you've got your bosses in your corner, that's not going to be a problem.
But kind of the point I was trying to make with him is he said that if it ever happens, it would be a publicity stunt. And I don't, you know, Becky Hammon is an assistant coach. I am fully aware of the fact that she's not a head coach, but anyone that, like, if San Antonio were to hire Becky Hammon as their head coach, what part of San Antonio has ever been about publicity stunts?
Well, then that kind of raised the question, too, like, is San Antonio's exempt from that, right? I mean, if it was anybody else, you're going to get that criticism. But San Antonio's exempt from all of that. I mean, I think there's still going to be those people that are, you know,
I don't know.
And complaining over something stupid.
That's the thing, too. It's unfortunate that if it were to happen, that's what it would be called. You know, no one would ever look at it and say, this is because this woman is qualified. They look at it and say, oh, it's a publicity stunt. But these are multi-million dollar businesses. And in some cases, like over $1 billion, like the Clippers sold for over $1 billion. What moron takes a chance with a billion-dollar company just for publicity?
The Sacramento Kings. Jimmer Fredette over Kawhi Leonard's on line three, or Klay Thompson, or whoever it was. I mean, I'll
I mean, we've got a laundry list for this franchise.
I don't know.
Listen, I don't think he's right in saying it would be a publicity stunt, but I think it would be a circus. And I think that would be very similar to what we read about with Michael Sam, the first gay, openly gay NFL player, where you had NFL franchises saying, you know, he might be good enough to make the roster, But it, whether you like it or not, there's going to be a circus that comes with him. And in the case of the first female NBA head coach, it's almost you can't really quantify whether or not she's a good coach until, you know, she's a coach.
Right.
So you're kind of taking a leap of faith knowing that.
Well, that's the same leap of faith you take with every coach you hire, really.
No, yes, but you're getting the added. If you hire Quinn Snyder or Doug Collins, you're not going to have the circus that comes with if you hired Nancy Lieberman, for example, or Becky Hammond.
Well, and you know what, though? If you're like a stable and well-run organization, you're not going to worry about that.
Exactly.
And that, and the same thing goes for the Michael Sams of the world. You know, when you get to a point where you're saying, hey, does this guy's talent outweigh whatever quote-unquote distraction?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Like, if you've got your stuff together, you're not going to worry about that because you're going to be equipped to handle distractions.
And, well,
and the Spurs are uniquely equipped
to do
that.
The Spurs are. It would be the Spurs that would almost have to do it.
It's also if they do it the right way. And, you know, Becky Hammond's working as an assistant right now, and she probably will be for a long time. And that's what how every head coach in this league starts is as an assistant. So if they were to just go and hire a female head coach that's never been an assistant in the league, that hasn't kind of put in that time and built up that resume, then, yeah, that would be a publicity stunt.
I think if you ever do it, you're going to have to do it where you have somebody, if it is Becky Hammond, she's going to have an absolutely rock-solid relationship with the best player and leader on that team who's going to go. You talk about the GM and the front office supporting the first female head coach. Mm-hmm. More important to me is you got to have the players supporting that head coach as well. We'll get into more of this later. Read Katie's blog if you haven't yet at khtk.com, or if you don't want to pour through 17 pages to find it, just go to Katie's Twitter where she linked it, or the KHTK Twitter. Morning Brew is next. We'll give you our top three stories of the day, a day that will include Darren Collison at 8:05. We're back in 3 minutes on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. Well, that's Adrian Peterson. Obviously, a call from a while ago because you heard the announcer say, best back in the NFL. NFL free agency is beginning to heat up, and Adrian Peterson looks like he's cobbled that list down to a handful of teams. You've heard the Seahawks, the Patriots, the Vikings not out of the mix still, and then the Oakland Raiders.
Raiders.
So interesting to see where he might go. Darrell Revis is a free agent. And you keep hearing these rumblings. I saw, and I want to underline, this is some blogger, but it was a blogger with a blue check mark on Twitter. So that means, of course, he's important and real. He said that, according to his sources, he's a Redskins blogger. According to his sources, Cousins to the 49ers is 90% done.
And he's a Redskins blogger based out of Australia doing a podcast.
He's got got a blue check mark, though. So you've got all this crap going around right now. It's silly season in the NFL. Every sport has it. And things are the lid's going to come off, Katie, here in about a couple of days, and all hell is going to break loose.
I think Adrian Peterson is kind of interesting. There's several guys on the list of kind of top free agents, but Adrian Peterson is an anomaly. What has he played, like 20 games or something in the last few years? I read it earlier. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. But obviously, he's older. He's had injury problems. And do you kind of take a chance as an NFL team on a guy like Adrian Peterson based on his past, or is his age really getting to the point where it's like, man, we're not going to risk that?
If I'm the Raiders and the price is right, I pull the trigger in a heartbeat. Adrian Peterson has shown that he can recover from injuries like anything. Like
20 games in the last 3 years.
Yeah, the guy's an X-Man, though. Like, he's been through this before. He regenerates at a speed that's not even known to humans. I think you look at any potential upgrade at the running back position if you're the Raiders, and if you have him, well, I mean, I guess the tough part is you've got, you know, two guys already there, but yeah. I'm not a real big Latavius Murray guy. I think Adrian Peterson's still going to be better than him.
What's
going on there?
What deep track reference thing were you just
from? That was from Rent, wasn't it?
Take a chance on me, ABBA.
Or ABBA.
Oh my gosh.
Dude.
ABBA.
Welcome
Matt
back.
Mamma Mia is a great movie.
Oh my. Is it better than Mona?
No.
No.
Mona.
Jesus.
Mona.
My Lord. Come on, Dirk. Bail us out.
Dirk
Nowitzki. Oh my God. He got 30,000, you guys, in the most Dirk way possible. I mean, seriously, that little, you know, off balance, 1 foot fadeaway on the baseline. He's good, but you guys, 19 years, it's kind of sad to me. He's getting all these records, so on and so forth, but he's a fraction of the player he used to be.
Yeah, he's old. I wasn't expecting that to be the...
Hello, Nate.
I know, I wasn't expecting that to be the shirt, man. Dirk is rad. What is it? There's five other dudes, right?
Yeah.
And who are they? Kobe, Michael Jordan.
Karl Malone. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem and what? Wilt or whatever?
Yeah, I think Wilt. And I believe Dirk, Kobe, and Karl Malone, the only ones to do it all with the same team.
Well, you see, Kobe impressive. Is an international player, too, because he was born in some foreign country.
Good point. Ooh, good point right there.
In your face.
We'll talk more about Dirk History. Nowitzki in a few minutes. One topic is on me, which is you're seeing highlights of Mark Cuban, like, on the floor, like, hugging Dirk and in the scrum and all that. I think we should talk about that. And then, Nate, I'll blame Nate for this, so you can send your letters here, but it got me going, like, Dirk is now, like, we were trying to make, like, the all-white NBA team, and Dirk is in there.
Oh, my word.
We were trying to, Dirk's an all-star now. I mean, he's the guy. So we were trying to think, like, how would you do it? And here's the list we came up with.
How would you do it?
We're kind of playing small ball, too.
Yeah, a little bit. So you go, Stockton.
Mm-hmm.
Who was our two?
We had Pete Maravich and Jerry West at the 2-3.
And then we moved. And then we moved Larry Bird to the four. Dirk to the five. So we got a ton of shooters there. And then wasn't Bob Cousy our sixth man?
Bob Cousy's our sixth.
Yeah,
man.
I mean everybody.
Did you guys really spend time talking about?
We
this?
Spent way
oh
too much
gosh.
Time talking, like breaking it down. It's not as
Lord,
easy as you'd
me.
Think. By the way, well, everyone's talking about he's the greatest Euro of all time. He's the best Euro of all time. All right, well, cool. We're putting him on all kinds of lineups.
Player.
Yeah, well.
I mean, because there's plenty of other
like
ones.
Ginobili? I mean, who's like the best non... Isn't Ginobili... Who's the best non-Euro player?
There's been a ton of players come out of Africa. You know what I'm saying?
No, like, that's true.
They call them the best international player. Mm. And
yeah,
I don't know...
See,
I don't, is that
so
true?
Wow. That would... You want? You know what? Talk about that as a great lineup. All-time Euros... Versus all time, every other nation
world,
other than America.
Other than America.
Right. Like Euros versus the world, but America's not in there. So you'd have any Africa, you'd have Australia, you'd have South America. So you get like your Ginobili's and your Naharas. Man, this is a great idea.
Yeah.
Katie,
oh,
I completely forgot.
Great idea.
Fantastic. This whole segment brought to you by Katie. Number three.
Spurs Radio Network on the call. The Kings are in San Antonio to take on that team tonight, and the MVP du jour, Kawhi Leonard, and I say that just because he was the guy that we were talking about yesterday because of his big finish in the Rockets game. The Spurs are very, very good, you guys, and the Kings, they're not quite as good. It's going to be a struggle tonight.
You know, somewhere in this building, I wonder if it still exists, old grizzled KHDK veteran Jody Bacon trying to read Kawhi Leonard's name when he was drafted. Do you remember this clip, Nate? And she went, Kawhi,
no,
like,
really?
Literally, no, I mean, to her credit, there were a lot of people that screwed his name
of
up.
Of course,
he's
yeah.
he's a fine ball player. He's
guys,
a fine player.
He's over 30 points in the last six straight games. It's just, and the crazy thing to me is,
how many times has Russ gone over 40 this year?
Yeah, but I don't know.
Does Kawhi have as many 30-point games as Russ does triple-doubles?
Does he have as many double and triple teams as Russ?
Wow.
Yeah.
Team Russ over there,
well,
huh?
Well, hey, we're going to talk about the MVP race at 7:17.
Right.
We'll get back into this. Everybody lower your cockles and get ready for that. It's coming up in under an hour.
Push it down.
Hey, now. Let's see.
Cockles?
From the text line, from the 925, screw Bob Cousy. Chris Mullin should be the sixth man.
Oh.
Shooter.
Molly. We'll talk more about Dirk and talk about Mark Cuban. And then think about this, kids, during the break. What first ballot Hall of Famers are playing right now? Obviously, Dirk is one. Who else? We'll take a break and we'll look at that in 3 minutes on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Bud Light, also the preferred post-game drink of one Don Nelson.
Yeah.
Wonder if there's a little influence there.
Allowed to drink Bud Light if you're of German descent?
I was thinking the same. Well,
Anheuser-Busch.
Well, hey, Budweiser's German now. Where have you guys been? It's InBev.
No, but you got to have something better than a Bud Light,
easy.
Right?
Easy.
I don't know. I mean, is there, to
I
be
mean,
honest.
I can't think of anything better than an InBev product, frankly.
I can't either. As a matter of fact, if I'm ranking beers, it goes number one, Bud Light. Number two, Bud Light. And maybe number three, Budweiser, to be honest with you.
You're kidding me.
No, we're being dead serious, Katie. By the way, InBev and Budweiser, proud sponsors of Sports 1140 KSK, yes. And we're damn proud to have them. So, Dirk Nowitzki.
But that's like celebrating like your wedding with some with champagne you got from CVS.
Like the Dom Perignon of beer? Abso-freaking-lutely.
Well, it's kind of funny. This is a true story, too. In 2012, when I was on the road with the World Series, and I was in the Tigers clubhouse after they lost, kind of a somber environment, as you might imagine. But the weirdest thing was kind of standing there waiting for post-game interviews and seeing these dudes like Miguel Cabrera and stuff like that, like come wandering out of the back where, you know, they've got like an Under Armour shirt on and they've got not like sliding shorts,
sure,
you know, just drinking Bud Light, not saying a word to one another because they just lost the World Series. Like just sitting down and watching TV like, damn.
Just having a burr.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Having a burr watching TV with your buddies in your sliding shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Just something I like to do in the summertime.
It was so crazy. Like it was such a – it was not a chill atmosphere because it was definitely like, dude.
Oh, sad.
But it was just like, eh, well – what are you going to do?
We're watching pictures and videos of Mark Cuban, part of the celebration on the floor. And Mark Cuban is a very, very easy target these days, and for good reason, because he can be a douche nozzle. But I like that.
I've never heard that before.
I will present the following case to you.
Oh, no.
And I don't necessarily believe it, but let me just play attorney here for a second for Mr. Cuban. It's okay for Mark Cuban to go on the court during the break and hug Dirk Nowitzki because, really, he has shown so much extreme loyalty to Dirk through the years, never trading him, continue to pay him, don't release him. And they've been together since day one.
They're like kids together when they came in.
Exactly.
Did you see that picture of them together?
They're very, very, very little. Like, especially
like they came up through Little League.
Exactly. So in this one isolated case, the relationship goes beyond owner and player. It's two guys that came up together, that believed in each other, that won a championship together. And in this case, Mark Cuban justified in being part of the celebration, and Dirk was happy to have him. That's my case. Is it okay for Mark Cuban to be on the court?
He's always on the court.
But is it okay?
He's always on the court. He's in timeouts. No, I don't think it's ever okay.
But in that case, was it okay? That's what I'm saying. I agree with you. It's never okay.
Hug him after the game, hand him his Bud Light, sit there and, you know, hang out with him then. I don't understand the need. If any other owner in the league did it, like if Vivek did it, what would you think?
Well, but see, I was just thinking about that. And Mark Cuban's built up that credibility, hasn't he? I mean, fair or not.
What credibility?
He's got a ring.
He turned the... Remember what the Mavericks were before he owned them? Like, Dirk gets as much credit for that as anybody.
Sure.
But, like, the Mavericks were a punchline for the entirety of their existence until Mark Cuban came along. And so, yeah, like, if someone like Vivek or, say, Robert Pera or someone that has no track record of really even sniffing success does something like that, you come across kind of looking like a fame humper or something like that.
Oh, a fame humper.
Well, I mean,
what if
context.
Golden State, you know, what if it happened over there? They
won
a title now.
Probably roast Joe Lacob just because he's roastable.
And Cuban's going to get roasted. And I think that's – I don't want to say the easy road because that implies that it's wrong for people to roast Mark Cuban. I can totally understand people roasting Mark Cuban today. I just – when you got 99% of the world going against something, I tend to try to be contrarian on that. I'm looking at Mark – at that situation going, is that the one time because – and by the way, you want to know how to build up some credibility. Trade Tractor Trailer for Dirk Nowitzki and Pat Garrity and then turn around and flip Pat Garrity for Steve Nash, which is exactly what the Dallas Mavericks did.
Solid.
People remember Nash with the Suns. A lot of people forget that the Mavs had Nash and Nowitzki and Jason Kidd.
Those Mavericks teams, I mean, we always talk about from that era the Kings and Lakers, but the Kings and Mavericks were just as good a games as any of those Lakers games were. I mean, like you talk about dudes hitting big shots. And then, I mean, you throw Michael Finley in there, too. You remember how much of a pain in the ass him and Jerry Stackhouse were?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
God, those teams were loaded.
I always remember.
And they were like the third or fourth best team in the West.
Well, they ran into the Kings a lot of time. I mean, the Kings had them damn near every year. And I don't know why this memory always sticks out. But Peja Stojaković, not known as a defensive player. In fact, known as the opposite of a defensive player. But for some reason, he always D'd up against Dirk Nowitzki. They always put him on Dirk. And Peja had a couple of clutch stops on Dirk Nowitzki in the playoffs back in the day. They had a little... And Dirk, when he was on a podcast recently, I don't know which one, but it came my way, where he was talking about rivals back in the day, and the Kings were the first team he mentioned. That was the Mavericks, the rivalries that he remembers, Kings and Mavericks.
Isn't it crazy that he's still playing and where the teams have, how different the Kings are?
Well, God, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's been in the league for 19 years.
When we get back. What players? We know Dirk Nowitzki is a first ballot Hall of Famer. That is without question. Who else right now playing is a first ballot Hall of Famer? And something we didn't get to yesterday, DeMarcus Cousins was heckled in Los Angeles against the Lakers the other night. He responded, and we'll try to tell you what he said, but we want to talk about heckling in general and what rights do they have. We'll do all that next. Albert Breer, we're chasing Albert Breer for 740, but we do have Darren Collison at 8:05, and we'll also at some point preview today's Kings and Spurs matchup coming up this evening on KHDK. Back in 4 minutes on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Still a little breaking NFL free agency news. We cut off four down territory because, you know, it's not four down territory time, but let's bring back first down. It's just the music I have. Do I have a second down? Hold on. Oh, that's Brew. Hold on. Where is it? I got four down territory somewhere in here, don't I? Do I? Oh, no, I don't.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, damn it.
What are you doing?
I'm doing morning brew. Hold on. I got to have some sort of... Here we go. How about this? There we go. Breaking news. Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall has agreed to terms on a two-year, $12 million deal to join the Giants and Eli Manning.
Yes.
There you go. Not a tough move for Brandon Marshall. Hey, there you go. Matt had it.
He didn't go far, did he?
No, he didn't.
That's a move right there, and obviously there's a lot of other things that can happen, draft, free agency, whatever. That could potentially change the landscape of the NFC East. When you talk about freeing up Odell Beckham, and now Eli Manning's got one more weapon. It's not like that team doesn't have question marks.
Right.
And the Cowboys were great, but you're asking for a repeat performance of a great year from a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back. Mm-hmm. Like, you're asking those guys to not have a sophomore slump, for one, to put it nicely.
Sure.
You're hoping that team doesn't fall apart in the offseason. We don't know what the hell is going on with Washington. They might not even have a starting quarterback here in a couple of weeks.
It might be Mike Glennon.
Right? I mean, this is that, like, just adding Brandon Marshall already has changed the way things look in the NFC East for me.
No more. That was you. See, people think that's me, Matt, because I'm the one who always screws up the sounds. We were talking about Hall of Famers too, real quick.
Oh, and the Eagles exist.
Well, they're there, yeah.
And the Eagles exist.
And Carson Wentz and those people. Mm-hmm. Hall of Famers. Dirk Nowitzki is a Hall of Famer. Just real quick, you guys agree or disagree here?
Sure.
Locks to make the Hall of Fame that are currently playing right now. I believe there are three and three only that are locked first ballot. Yeah, maybe four. LeBron James, yeah. Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki,
Chris Paul.
Is he a lock right now?
What about Paul Pierce?
Well, no, I was going to say Paul Pierce is the fourth. He probably is, but is he?
He's what? Nine-time All-Star, eight-time All-Defensive Team, eight-time All-NBA, or nine? I'm not, I mean.
Freaking president of the Players Association.
What about Vince Carter?
Stuff like that factors in.
Vince Carter?
No, being the president of the Players Association.
Oh,
like, he negotiated it, you know.
Yeah, maybe it should.
I think deal.
It's a overall look at your work, I think. So that's a huge deal.
You don't think that potentially Carmelo Anthony?
Well, no, we're talking about saying locks, like stone cold lock. You think Carmelo is a stone cold lock? And by the way, I'm thinking of this in the term, guys, of if their career ended today.
Oh,
not,
okay.
Not like what could they do? How much time do they have
Carmelo
left?
Carmelo should be on that list anyway, because how much time does he have in his career, really?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, his best basketball is already behind him.
If his career is almost over, is Vince Carter a Hall of Famer? First ballot. I think he is.
First ballot. I don't know if he is a
really?
First ballot.
He's kind of been the slow and steady wins the race type. You know, like there were a lot of guys who his not only did his star burn as brightly, if not brighter than, you know, a lot of his peers at the time, but he kind of burned, you know, he burned out there for a little while. And a lot of guys did that, but like he's, you know, still going. I think there's something to be said about that.
Well, he's figured out how to stay relevant when he was a player that relied heavily on athletic ability and he changed his game. But it also doesn't make him as flashy and impressive a player as he was during that time, you know? So I don't know that Vince Carter is a lock.
I don't know if this should factor into Hall of Fame voting or not, but let me give you a take here.
Let's hear it.
He is the best dunker in the history of the NBA.
That I'll give you.
Yeah.
That pisses people off every time you say that. But he is. Because they're going, Michael Jordan, David Thompson. And then you get like some old guys like, hey, David Thompson. But, I mean, come on, dude. Go watch the All-Star. What was it, 90?
I keep forgetting. It
was
like
it 2000?
01 or 2000.
Just go watch Vince Carter stuff his whole arm in a freaking hoop. Watch him dunk over some 7-foot
like
13 guy. Yeah, it's... one of my favorite clips to ever watch is Vince Carter, the slam dunk contest where he hung off his elbow. And it's not just the dunk. It's the fact that it was like his third or fourth dunk. He was trying to follow up these crazy dunks he'd already done. Everybody at this point, he was on fire. Everybody was expecting like pretty much for him to do like 3 flips in the air at this point. Mm-hmm. He goes up. And if you get a chance, watch this clip. I'll tweet it out during the break. Watch this clip again. He does the dunk. And it's one of the greatest crowd reactions I've ever seen because, Matt, see if you can call that up, because he does it and you get like this kind of like, ooh, but then it's almost eerily silent. And then you hear this buzz in the crowd begin to grow and you hear Kenny Smith and everybody else who was on the call all of a sudden go, what did, and the whole thing was, oh, my God, what did we just see?
He's hanging from his elbow.
Then you see the replays go off in the arena, and people see it again. They didn't know what they saw. They had no clue. And once they start, it's you hear it audibly sink in with them, and they realize they just saw what could be perhaps the greatest dunk in the history of the game. But they had no idea what the hell it was.
See, to me,
they saw it, but they needed verification.
Yes.
Because it's like, there's no way I saw that.
You go with that one. I don't know that anyone will ever beat his opening dunk, that reverse 360 windmill.
Oh, dude, I agree.
That, like, when that happened, I didn't even know a human being could do that.
Right?
It was just like, whoa! What? And then he followed it up with, like, 3 incredible dunks. Like, he did the, you know, he went through the legs, he did the elbow one, and then he went from the free throw line with 2 hands.
So that was underrated because he went about a half of his foot length.
Uh-huh.
His foot length, about half of his foot length was past the free throw line. So people go, oh, okay, we've seen that before. No, you haven't. He dunked with two hands.
Yeah.
That's stupid. I almost would have rather had him to, because I believe he could have done this. Instead of doing that, I've always wished that he had taken off about a half a foot behind the free throw line and used one hand, because I think he would have pulled that off, and that would have gone down as a bigger deal.
Yeah, those are like so tough to figure out the footsteps. I like the thing that thrilled me so much about that reverse windmill was like guys have done dunks like that, and guys have done things that are more elaborate in the air. There was the way that he just kind of coasted. It was like he was gliding. He did it in slow motion. He was and just like the fluidity of movement. Whatever, dude. What a freak.
Katie, here, listen in. Here's the Vince Carter dunk from the hanging from his elbow. They had no idea what they saw. They had no clue. The announcer. Wait a minute.
Hold on a second.
Hold on. What did we just see?
I need a timeout.
All right.
Unfortunately, it was that dunk contest that gave us the Kenny Smith that we have today.
Yeah. Year 2000, by the way, was that dunk contest. Matt's got the opening dunk. Now listen to the difference for the crowd here when they know what they saw. They know what they saw there.
And he was right on that one.
He was. He was.
That might not be the first time he said that, but it was the most right, and it will continue to be forever. Let's go home.
See you later. It's over.
Turn the lights out.
The greatest part about both of those clips is they show a shot of Shaq's face on both of them. The first one is Shaq's just fired up, and the second one, Shaq is so confused.
He doesn't know what happened. Nobody knew what happened on the elbow dunk. The best reactions are when the players, you know, they had their old, like, Sony Betamax camcorders out back then, and they're recording.
It's 2000.
Well, whatever it was. And they,
it was something.
And you see them, like, the dunk happens, and then you see them, like, throw their arms out for their full wingspan and, like, back up and knock over, like, four rows of people behind them because they just have no freaking clue. Vince Carter was an alien, dude.
Half of the judges stood up and walked away, too.
Right? Well, what's the joke? Like, he was half man, half amazing. And for a while, it was like, now he's just half man.
He will be the first alien ever inducted into the Hall of Fame if he makes it. Well, seriously, he's just
a Hall of Famer, for sure.
Yeah, I think so, too. We'll take a break. There's a few others on the list you can think about if their career ended today. Tony Parker. Pau Gasol.
See, I don't know that. No, Powell's not a first rounder. Tony Parker might be.
Manu Ginobili?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he's a first ballot.
Really? Oh, God.
No, I really don't.
Tough.
No, I don't think he's a first ballot.
I think if Parker and Ginobili retire this year, the Hall of Fame should amend their rules and put those two and Duncan in at the exact. They should have their own class. have their own ceremonies. Kings Spurs tonight. We'll get on that. And also, we've got this now. You want to hear what it sounds like to heckle DeMarcus Cousins ruthlessly? We have the sound from Los Angeles. We'll talk about those hecklers. We'll get to this audio, I promise. I've been trying to get to for a day and a half next on The Drive. Back in 4 minutes. Sports 1140 KHDK.